Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, you hear that?
Do you hear that?
What is that?
What is that?
Yeah, what is that?
What is it?
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
And good Tuesday to each and every one of you as we get rolling on this edition of Sports Daily. Hurdle and Albrock with you for the next couple of hours. Kansas City, big series with the Houston Astros, which even Jacob's got to kind of swallow hard right now and give credit where it's due to your neighbor to the south. My God, there's a pretty good baseball team they got down there.
Oh, I mean, come on, the Astros are. Whatever they, whatever. No, they're the real deal, man. They're and we've known it. We've known it for a while. They really fell flat on their face last year after a start like this. The Rangers' dominance over them played a part in that. But and the thing is with them, they're here to stay, I think. I mean, they've got so much good young. They've got so, you know, I wouldn't trade their young talent for anybody's young talent. We've talked about that. Plus, they have the bona fide legitimate ace in Keuchel. They've got the great young pitching prospect who could be an ace in McCullers. And now they're in a position where they can fine-tune that thing as they come down the stretch. I mean, I think they'll win 100 games. And they could really, like, you know, build up the bullpen just a little bit more, and they're gonna be there for a long time, and it'll be interesting to see how some other teams react to that, namely my team.
I was sitting there and I was watching this game a little bit, although I was torn a couple of different directions, and we'll get into this in just a minute. It was one of those weird nights where there was some things on that one might normally not partake in that were compelling enough to do so. But I was sitting there thinking about the disparity between Houston and Kansas City, in that not only in the way that the game was going, obviously, but I was just thinking about Kansas City in terms of how fortunate they are that they're not in the same division as the Astros. I mean, they'd be like, what, 18, 16 games down? Something like that. Am I doing my math correctly? I think that's right. I think they'd be. I was looking last night and I just glanced at it. And
yeah, because the Houston game and a half. I think it'd be 17 games, maybe
17. Houston is boat racing their division.
Yeah,
the Angels are 14 back. Seattle, who's played lights out lately, 14 games back. Texas 15 and a half. Oakland 16 and a half games back. Jacob, I'm trying to think of the last time that we saw something this so completely dominant. Now, Houston would be leading any division in baseball. They have the best record in baseball. So that goes without saying, but my goodness, you talk about lapping the field. They could put their heels up, put a little reed of grass in their mouth and chew on it the rest of the season and not be challenged.
I keep seeing the graphic, or at least I did before the weekend. There were like five times since 2000 that teams have had this kind of a lead and then they went on through. So it doesn't happen very often, but Bruce, I mean, like even the Red Sox, I think they'd be like 10 games ahead of the Red Sox right now, or even the other division leaders. It's, you know, it's everybody. That's how far and away they are out ahead of everyone. And it's pretty amazing. In the National League, I'm just trying to see who's got the top. You've got the Nationals at the top in the National League, and they would be 4.5 behind Houston. Yeah. So, their run differential is getting ridiculous. Everything about the team is good, too. I don't think there's that like flaw that you see. You're like, oh, well, just wait until this when they hit this. Their bullpen's pretty good. Their starting pitching's top-heavy good. and their lineups out of this world. So, you know, whatever. Sports Illustrated had it right when we all laughed at them for the 2017 thing.
They were right on target. Right on target. And who else in the American League at this? I know we're still early, but who else? I mean, do you look at the Yankees? Do you look at the Red Sox, maybe? Do you believe in Minnesota sitting there five games above 500? I don't.
But what are you talking about? Are you talking about in
I'm
the
just
playoffs?
Looking at, I'm just looking at teams. I'm just looking at teams that could logically and realistically challenge Houston now
in the regular season. You mean?
Yeah, in the regular season.
Because in the playoffs, you throw everything out the window.
Oh well, the playoffs are playoffs are a clean slate. Anything can happen.
I don't know. I mean, the difference is, does Houston slow down? And you know, they did it last year, and they really fell hard. But I just don't think that's going to happen this year. I think this team is going to win a gob of regular season games. I don't know how many I'm willing to say, but I think, you know, 105 is totally, you know, in range for them, right, which will be interesting to see. What I'm curious about is how aggressive they get at the deadline to go make some deals and make things happen for themselves to try and, you know, look for that next step into getting in there.
There are only six teams in the National League that are better than 500. Just six. And I was listening to a discussion yesterday about the haves and the have-nots being so far removed from one another in the National League, where you've got Washington, Colorado at this particular point, Dodgers in Arizona. I think that those teams are all going to have pretty good staying power. I think those four teams are going to be solid. You know the Cubs are going to get there. Mm-hmm. You think St. Louis would, although they started poorly and they've kind of fallen back into a little bit of a malaise after a really good streak. But boy, there's not much to choose from in the National League. You get mediocre pretty quickly in the National League.
Well, I mean, you kind of do in the American League too.
Yeah, you do.
There's a lot of that in baseball this year, and that's good. That's going to be good for the wild card. When the time comes, we'll get clear. I hope some teams get clear losing, right, so we can see some cool trades. The trade deadline's been so much fun the last few years, but yeah. I mean, it's tough already with the second wild card, but right now, I mean, there's not anybody out of the wild card race in the American League. You could probably say that the Phillies and maybe the Padres are out of it in the National League, but I mean, we say that the Royals are finished, right? I mean, we say that, but they're not out of the wild card yet. I mean, it's hard. You can't stick that fork in any team, I don't think, in the American League. God. Boy, Kansas City, you know, I don't know. I mean, if we have to do it, I guess we do it with Kansas City and Oakland, but I don't know that I'm ready to do it with Kansas City yet. I think that they'll be there. Don't get me wrong. If I'm predicting them to sell and to, you know, fall out of this thing, but yeah. We've seen the look, they run off an 8-game win streak. Is that unrealistic for them? I don't think it is. And they're back at 500, and then you're talking about different situations, and it's not, you know, it's too early. And that's the thing, and I've been guilty of this myself this year. I've been ready, you know, I've had the forks pulled out for a while, and we got to get to July. That's just the way you got to do it in baseball.
Yeah.
Because I've wanted to do it with Texas, and that's probably premature with all the injuries that they've had. I've wanted to do it with Kansas City. History tells us that's probably premature. They've been in worse shape than this in 2014.
Well, look at Seattle. Seattle's a really good example. Seattle was absolutely decimated by injuries. They had four different guys in their starting rotation on the DL at some point. Paxton has come back. Felix is ready to go. And now with their pitching coming, and look, 28-30 is modest, but they were really adversely affected right out of the gate. And that's a team that I think some people felt like had a chance maybe this year. And they're playing like they probably have a chance right now. They've come from 8 or 9 games under 500 to just 2 games back, and they've beaten some pretty good teams to do it. So but my whole point, I'm not bullish necessarily on Seattle, but my whole point is that if you have suffered through a lot of injuries The great thing about baseball is it gives you enough time to kind of even the keel a little bit. So if you've gotten really kind of bitten at a certain point of the season, it gives you a chance to get back. And you're looking for a couple of wild card spots. So, I mean, you know, who knows? Anything can happen here, and we're still pretty early on. But, boy, it was interesting watching that Houston squad last night. Really, really good stuff. A couple of other things last night that really piqued my interest. I don't know, Jacob. I was having this discussion with my wife this morning because I did watch Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals last night. For some reason, country music stars and hockey don't seem to go together. But I applaud all of those country stars in Nashville that have made the Predators their team. More power to them.
Why do we think that is,
though? It just seems odd to me. I don't know. It just seems really odd to me when they're flashing Carrie Underwood and Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman and Dierks Bentley and all of these country people. I don't know. I feel like maybe they should be at a baseball game or some, but not at a hockey match. It just seems odd to me for some reason. Am I crazy?
I don't, and I've heard this, but I don't. I feel like hockey and country music go really well together. I think about crazy hockey fans, and I'm talking about crazy hockey fans. You know which hockey fans I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure.
I picture most of them listening to country music, at least old country music, or that, or like, you know, Never Letting Go of, you know, Iron Maiden or whatever. I guess I don't know. I guess it doesn't seem that weird to me. I could see a little hockey. Now, I suppose that country's more popular in places where it's not icy all the time. But I don't know. I bet if we went up to Minnesota, there'd be a lot of country music being played.
Yeah,
I love,
probably so.
I love the Nashville thing. I think it's cool. I think Nashville's a secret little, like, celebrity place that, and that's probably all it is. It's just like a music mecca. And so why wouldn't all these people that have all the money in the world who can go and do whatever they want at these sporting events, go and do it. It'd be so much fun. I mean, we all wish we could do what they're doing. So I think it's cool. I think everything about the Nashville thing is cool. And I know I've, you know, people get all, you get their feelings hurt about bandwagon stuff, which is so lame to me. You know, bring everybody in. I feel like I want everybody to like my team. So I think it's great. And I hope that, I don't want to say I'm rooting for them, but I guess I'm rooting for them a little bit.
I think I'm for them. I think I am too.
It's not anything against Pittsburgh.
No, not at all.
Because Crosby and Malkin, those guys are fun to watch. And that's coming from a guy that doesn't watch a ton of hockey. But when you do watch and you watch those guys, they're fun to watch.
It was great last night, though. And you can't help but think of the disparity between the twos, between the NHL and the NBA's final in terms of drama or in terms of interest or in terms of whatever the case may be, however you want to determine just level of entertainment to this particular point. Although I thought game two in the NBA Finals was pretty fun to watch, even if it was ended up being
for most of the game.
For most of the game, it was still pretty fun to watch. But even in a 4-1 game, which was really a 3-1 game because they scored on an empty net late, it was a really fun game to watch. I mean, Pittsburgh kept attacking, and Nashville kept sending them away, and Pekka Rinne, the goalkeeper, had 21 consecutive saves. I think he finished the game with 21 consecutive saves and was sprawling all around the net. There was just great drama attached to that game. A lot of fun to watch. But I was going back and forth. I got to be honest with you. Once I got the Royals game pretty well settled with Houston with the Women's College World Series game, did you pay any attention at all? And it's no shame if you didn't. If you fell into it, I bet you stayed. the game between Florida and Oklahoma State, the first in the three-game series, best of three-game series with those two for the World Series. It was an unbelievable game.
No,
unbelievable game. Florida scores. Okay, here's the deal. Florida's the number one team in the country, and Oklahoma, of course, is the defending national champion, playing essentially, not on their home field, but playing right up the road in Oklahoma City, the beautiful complex down there. If you've never been to it, it's worth a look. But Florida scores to tie the game with two out in the seventh on a ball that was basically misplayed. Because I thought they had two mispositioned outfielders, with two outs. There's a runner on second, I think, at that particular point. So they're moving with the crack of the bat, but they had them played way back. And they ended up misplaying a ball that could have been caught. Two players converging on it, bounces off the left fielder's glove. Gal comes around to score. And then... like two innings later, Florida has a chance to win it, and a gal from Oklahoma makes a play in the right center field gap on a ball that bounces off the fence. She picks it up on one hop, turns, and guns it to second on the fly, and they get this gal who's trying for a leadoff double that might have ended up sealing the game, as Florida was the home team. So then they end up playing for 17 innings, 1-7. 17 innings, a game that's supposed to be over after 7, ends up going 17 innings. And Oklahoma had the game won again. They were up 4-2 at a particular point, I think in the 11th or the 12th. And Florida came back and tied it again, sending it even further into the night. Ended up being 17 innings that they used to decide this thing. So... and Tim Walton, of course, the former Wichita State coach, is now the head coach at the University of Florida and has gone on to bigger and better things, having won national championships and stuff, and is trying to do it again. But it was an absolutely incredible game, just an absolutely incredible game. So that's what I had going last night, for whatever
it's worth. I'm bummed I missed it.
Yeah, oh, it was good. Yeah, it was good, and I'm not overstating it. I mean, it was, I mean, you talk about... You're talking about young women who really can play a game at a remarkably high level. And I was blessed during the time that I took off to really work on play-by-play to do a lot of OU softball during those 3 years. And I got to tell you, watching them is like it's just watching a well-oiled machine. I mean, great plays defensively, great arms. They pitch extremely well. Situational baseball offensively is really good. They can muscle up. They're just really fun to watch. And Florida, who I haven't seen anywhere near as much, is obviously just as good. It was pretty good. And not all games are going to be like that, but this one last night was an absolute classic. Place packed, so thousands of people there. It was just a great, great atmosphere and a great game and fun to watch. So there you go. I was all over the place viewing last night. It was good stuff. All right, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, I want to get into the what in the wide world of sports are the Kansas City Chiefs thinking about with Jeremy Maclin and his
I can't believe that, Bruce. I just saw that this morning.
I'm telling you. I happened to be working this weekend, and when that came across, I did a double check, and then I had to go. I went to a few places in Kansas City to make sure that what I was reading was correct. And even then, getting all into this, I can't figure it out. So I need someone brighter than I, which pretty much opens up an entire Pandora's box to explain to me what the Chiefs are thinking in this. We're back in a minute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.